Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. This is part two of the interview with Angel Flynn, the spokeswoman for Be Fair, Be Vegan. Be Fair, Be Vegan is an international billboard campaign that is currently up on I-95 in Connecticut, in Fairfield County, Connecticut, in the cities of Bridgeport, Fairfield, and Stratford, Connecticut. Angel joined us last week, along with the grassroots animal activists Patricia Harmon and Chris Karen, who brought Be Fair, Be Vegan to Connecticut. And now we'll continue our conversation with Angel. Thanks again, Angel, for joining us on Vegan Nation. It was really great speaking with you last week.
That's great, Marlene. Yes, thank you so much for having me on again. It's great to have the opportunity to speak about Be Fair, Be Vegan.
Yes, let's have a recap of the campaign in Connecticut.
Sure. Yes, the campaign in Connecticut is now live. It started on July 27th. It runs until October 31st, so it's a full 12 weeks, which is really exciting for us. It's happening in Fairfield County, Connecticut, in a couple of cities, Stratford and Bridgeport, and there are five billboard locations. They're all on Interstate 95, and if anybody is there in Connecticut and they would like to see the billboards in person and possibly even take some photos for our Facebook page, that's something we'd be really grateful for. People can go to the Be Fair, Be Vegan Facebook page and take a look. There's a post from July 28th where you can see the locations of the billboards, and you can see photos of the billboards, you can see how beautiful they are, but you can also see where the locations are so that you can go and see them for yourselves. So it really would be fantastic if people want to take some more photos so that we can share them, and also just to see them in real life. I'm sure will be exciting for any vegans there in Connecticut. So it's been the fantastic work of Chris Karen and Pat Harmon, a couple of activists there who did all the hard work of raising money, raising a third of the money so that we could make this campaign happen with the help of our sponsor. It runs from July 27th until October 31st, and it's just basically a year after we had our first launch in Times Square in New York. So it's really exciting that it's happening just a couple of hours away.
Yes, yes, indeed. And where is the campaign going next?
We're yet to know exactly where it's going next, but we are in communication with several individuals around the United States and also around the world. We've had quite a few inquiries. There are a lot of people who would like to bring it to their area. And, of course, the big hurdle for most people is the fundraising part of it. So often, you know, we're having these conversations with people, and it all depends on how far they're able to get with that section. But we do have some very, very hopeful possibilities. Melbourne is looking very likely. Hawaii is looking like a possibility. There are possibilities in Europe. We had an inquiry from South Africa. We had an inquiry from Budapest. So we're very hopeful about these other possibilities. And one of the things that we're finding is in some of these places, the money that is able to be raised is actually able to go a lot further sometimes than some of the cities in the United States. So we're hoping to be able to actually take one or more of these cities and really make a big splash, and maybe even do some quite different formats to the ones that we've seen before on these billboards, the kind of format that we've been using since the beginning in Times Square. In some of these new locations that we're looking at, it might be quite different, and so we're excited to share that with people when the time comes.
That's great, and it's so important for the message, the vegan message, especially Be Fair, Be Vegan, to be exposed to the public.
Yes, it is. Vegan advertising is a very effective way to reach people, and one of the things that we've been learning by talking more with some advertising professionals is just how you can really target this information to the right audience by picking the locations that you put it in to reach the kind of people who are likely to be affected by it. So it is actually a very effective way of doing vegan outreach. And of course, what's the most important thing is the message that you're actually putting out there. So that's why it's extremely important to us to always be making it clear that the message is be vegan. You know, all of this information that people put out there about animal suffering and animal abuse is, it's important for people to know that this goes on, but what's really important for people to know is that they have the power to stop it. They have the power to stop participating in it by simply becoming vegan, and it's really the most important activist or advocacy step that people can take is becoming vegan in their own lives, because it means that they're not buying into this system anymore. They're not participating in, they're not creating a demand for these products, and therefore for the whole system of exploitation that is animal farming, that is the animal trade. So that's what Be Fair, Be Vegan is all about, and it's also about letting people know that, that veganism is a simple matter of justice. That's why it's called Be Fair, Be Vegan, and not Be Kind, Be Vegan, or Be Compassionate, Be Vegan. We really want to make it clear that it's a simple matter of fairness, that this is just what animals deserve from us, is to be left in peace and not exploited for our gain, because that's what everything that's not vegan is. It's exploitation of animals for our gain. So that's why it's very important to us to make it clear that this message is about the individual becoming vegan, and by extension, one day, our whole society becoming vegan.
Right, and then that's win-win-win for all.
Exactly. It's win-win-win for all. It's a win for it's a win for us, too. That's a thing that a lot of people don't actually realize when they think about becoming vegan. I think this is something we've talked about before on the show, Marlene, is that when people think about becoming vegan, often they think about giving something up. And I always find that so amusing in a way, because people really don't realize what you actually gain from becoming vegan. You know, everything from, a lot of people are aware of the health benefits by now, and a lot of people are aware of the fact that it lightens your ecological footprint, which is, of course, a huge issue in this time that we live in, where everything's being depleted and our planet is actually very much in need of us lightening up. But it's also a tremendous, tremendous source of self-esteem for people. And really, the vegans that I talk to, there's so much joy to be found in veganism. And people don't realize that this is actually something that they have to gain from it. And it's so deep, and it's so profound, and it's so wide-reaching in a person's life. Just the, you know, the whole change in perspective, the whole change in worldview that we gain when we become vegan, it's absolutely life-changing.
Yes, for sure, and really all positive. And I think that seeing the billboards, and also, right, it's not just billboards, that you've had other campaigns that include advertising in newspapers.
That's right. When we were in Hobart, we had the opportunity to take out an advertisement in a paper, and that was actually quite exciting, I have to say, because when I saw the picture of it, I saw the photo of the ad in the paper, and I had a bit of a rush myself, because these are mainstream sites to be advertising in. So it's very different for those of us in the vegan movement. We're getting more and more used to seeing messages, vegan messages, all over the place online, for instance. Those of us who are on Facebook, who are surrounded by vegan friends on Facebook, we're used to seeing vegan messaging getting out there. But it's very different to see it getting out there in these mainstream locations, which is part of why the billboards are so exciting and the street posters. The newspaper was also exciting, because I pictured people sitting down at their morning breakfast and, you know, flicking through the paper and then seeing an ad. The one I'm thinking of is, which chick should die for your eggs? And, of course, people are often eating eggs when they're reading the paper in the morning. So I found that really exciting to see that Be Fair, Be Vegan ad in the paper. I'm not sure if it's something that we'll continue doing, because we're constantly trying to refine this campaign and trying to determine what is the absolute best, most effective way of using our advertising dollars, because, of course, we want it to go as far as it possibly can. And that's been part of our education through doing this as well, is working with people who can actually help us to figure out how can we make it go as far as possible. And so we're learning that there are lots of different advertising formats that are available. Some of them have a better way of reaching the type of audience who are most likely to be affected by our message. But we also wanted to reach just as many people as possible, because you never know who is going to be moved by the message that they see.
Yes, because the cultural indoctrination in every country is so deep. So it's a new concept and understanding for many people. And of course, we need the message because it takes repetition and we're up against a big mountain of denial.
We are, and we're also up against a big mountain of money on the side of the animal industry, who have enough resources to just be able to put their message out there in front of everybody. Talk about shoving it down people's throats. You know, people say that about us in the vegan movement, that we try to force our beliefs on other people. But when you look at the advertising that is just pushed in our faces all the time by the animal industry, it's very offensive and it's very very manipulative of the public consciousness. So it's very exciting to have the opportunity to try to counter that a little bit. Yes, it's small, but when people see these billboards and these messages, it might be the first time they've ever thought about something like this. And especially in some of the other places around the world where we're looking at bringing the Be Fair, Be Vegan campaign to, where we hope to be able to do that, is to bring it to countries where the vegan message really is very new, you know, to try to, you know, break through people's concepts of animals in places where they may not have, you know, had vegan messages really coming to them in the past.
Right. And I am from the philosophy of deep veganism, which was originated by Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony, in that in deep veganism, and like you had said, that this is advantageous for everyone. I think most of the public doesn't realize how deep this goes into cultural transformation to help solve the crises and atrocities and injustices that have been going on century after century. The vegan evolution revolution is revolutionary.
It is, and it really is, as you said, evolutionary. You know, this is something that we've been doing since the beginning of human history, is using animals and being violent towards other animals. So this is something, you know, veganism in a sense is something that is creating a completely new path forward into a peaceful future for us as a society and as a culture. And it's true, people really do not understand how big this issue is. And I think those of us in the vegan movement, you know, understand it a lot better. Obviously, we understand that this is the hope for humanity and the hope for the planet, and of course, the hope for animals, without a doubt. But I think that the more we can look into this closely and understand that this would be a completely new humanity, this would be a completely new world, and it would be a world where all our fears and all our, all the despair that we feel about the way humanity is just so violent, not just towards animals, but violent towards each other and violent towards the planet and ecosystems and, you know, everything. We're an exploitative species and we're a predatory species. And we're really not designed to be that way. You know, if we look at the other predatory animals, they're very, very bloodthirsty, and they're not turned off by the sight of and smells of blood and gore like we are. So we're really going very much in conflict with our inner nature in order to do this. So as individuals become vegan, and as our society becomes increasingly vegan, with more people catching on to this concept and understanding what it means and embracing it, what we're going to find is that our society shifts towards a more peaceful nature as well. And through that, we can transform the world. We can bring about hope for humanity and for our whole global consciousness.
We're listening to Angel Flynn via Skype on the Big Island in Hawaii. Angel is the spokeswoman for Be Fair, Be Vegan, an international billboard campaign that is currently up in Connecticut, I-95 Connecticut in Fairfield County, which is southwestern Connecticut. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. You're tuned in to WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio, serving central Massachusetts and worldwide at WCUW.org. After this short break, we'll continue our conversation with Angel. Tune in to Vegan Nation every Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. for music, news, and events about the vegan lifestyle right here on WCUW 91.3 FM and around the world at WCUW.org. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, broadcasting out of Worcester, Massachusetts, WCUW 91.3 FM. We're continuing our conversation with Angel Flynn, spokeswoman of the Be Fair, Be Vegan campaign, which is currently up on I-95 in Connecticut. Both the northbound and southbound lanes in the cities of Fairfield, Bridgeport, and Stratford, Connecticut. This is part two of Angel's interview. You can hear part one at wcuw.org/vegannation. Angel is joining us via Skype on the Big Island in Hawaii. And I would like to discuss a couple of the resistance themes that I hear quite often, as most vegans do. And one of them is that when veganism is brought up, a common response is that they will say that they are against the poor treatment of animals, or they'll mention factory farms, and then that muddies it because that's not the issue. Can you ad lib on that, please?
Yes, well, the factory farming issue has become huge in recent years, and I think the benefit of that is that people in society who are not necessarily vegan are now very aware of the fact that there's this issue called factory farming. And, of course, because the vast majority of our farmed animals are raised in this kind of a situation, people ought to be aware that if they're opposed to factory farming, they really pretty much should be opposed to using animal products, because the vast majority of animal products that they have access to are coming from these facilities. That's just a reality. But, and this is very important to the message of Be Fair, Be Vegan as well, and we've tried to make this clear in the billboards and in the street posters, is that this is true of organic dairy, this is true of humane eggs, you know, all of these things that go on. The humane, cage-free, free-range, grass-fed movement does not address the very basic issue. And the very basic issue is that these animals are not ours to exploit. It's not right for us to own them. It's not right for us to use them for our own purposes. So even if we are keeping them in pastures outside where they have, by comparison, a more natural life than they do in these factory farms, the reality is that their entire life cycle is controlled by us. So we breed them into existence, which from the get-go is a compromise of their freedom. We breed them into existence. We confine them in some manner, you know, whether they're confined in battery cages or sow crates or in large sheds or in pastures with fences. These animals are being confined so that we can use them for our gain. And then, of course, we manipulate their bodies. If they're being used for milk, we milk them. We take their milk. Before we can even do that, we separate the mothers from the babies. So there's an exploitation of the reproductive cycle, there's forced separation of mother and child, which usually ends with the babies being killed. Either they're killed immediately if they're used for veal, or they're killed down the line if they're being used for something else. And then, of course, ultimately all the animals are killed. I mean, this, you know, once animals are being used as economic units, once they're being used as resources, as money-making machines, they're only useful when they're making money. So once they become unprofitable to keep, once a dairy cow, for instance, is, you know, no longer giving milk in the same amount as she was before, once a hen has finished laying eggs, or she can't lay eggs at the same rate that she could before, or even, I learned through this campaign, Be Fair, Be Vegan, once a sheep has, her fleece quality starts to decline as she gets older, she doesn't have the same soft, fluffy wool anymore, these animals are killed. And that's what this whole cycle of exploitation is. It's breeding them into existence, using them while they're productive, and then killing them at the end. So the whole animal trade basically exists in the form of making money from animals' lives. And, you know, it's wrong, just like it would be to do that to humans. And it really doesn't matter whether they are in factory farms or not in factory farms. Factory farming is horrible. Factory farming has some specific unique elements to it that are particularly horrible. But the fact is, many of the elements that we associate with factory farming are also true on these other farms. You know, things like forced insemination. I mean, how do people think that they get the animals to breed? They're not just hooking them up and playing nice music and allowing them to mate with each other. No, this is a system of exploitation. It begins with forced insemination, whether or not they're on factory farms or whether they're on these quote-unquote humane farms. Also, many of the bodily mutilations that we associate with factory farms happen on, you know, quote-unquote humane farms as well. So it's a bit of a myth. It is a myth that factory, you know, people think factory farming bad, outdoor farming good, that it's as simple as that. And it really isn't. And the fact is, when the vegan movement started back in 1944, vegans will be familiar with the name Donald Watson, the man who coined the term vegan. He was talking about being vegan long before factory farming was even a thing. He was living on his uncle's happy farm, you know, what we would consider now to be a happy, humane farm, and he was looking at the reality of what was going on with the animals, and he was saying, this isn't right. And that remains true now, whether they're on factory farms or small family farms. It isn't right.
Very true. Thank you, Angel. And what can you say to help those who have this division, this separation, that dogs, cats, and horses are to be respected and treated with nonviolence to the exclusion of all the other species?
Well, I would say that if people have an affinity for dogs, cats, and horses, or any other kind of animal, rabbits, hamsters, gerbils, any animal who people have the experience of having bonded with them, having communed with them, having loved them, recognize that this love, this feeling that you have with your dog, with your cat, with any other animal, with a horse, they are not that different from cows, pigs, chickens. These other animals whom we exploit have the same capacity for love. They have the same capacity for joy. They have the same capacity for pleasure, for connection. And the most important thing is that they feel. They feel pain. And they feel other feelings too. They feel fear, they feel joy, they feel love. And the fact that they feel means that they are entitled to the same concern that we show for the animals who we're used to communing with in our homes. That feeling that you have for your dog, that feeling that you have for your cat, just the simple feeling of that you would want to not see that animal harmed or that you would want to help them if they needed help, it's only a person's own perception that makes them not see other animals in that way. We compartmentalize it in our minds because it's convenient to do so, because it's convenient for us to eat them and use their products. But anybody who wants to break free from that conditioning, it's very easy to see that these other animals feel the same way. Just look in their eyes. That's all you have to do. Just look in their eyes. And if you don't have access to see these animals in real life, watch some of the videos. See how they react. Ask yourself whether it's really very different to the way your dog would react in the same situation or the way your cat or your horse would react. And you'll see that there's really very little meaningful difference between these animals when you were talking about the most important things, such as whether or not they can feel pain and whether or not they ought to be exploited in the way that we exploit animals.
We're listening to Angel Flynn, the spokeswoman for Be Fear, Be Vegan, a national and international billboard campaign. Angel is joining us via Skype on the Big Island in Hawaii. And Angel, we're coming to a close in the interview. Do you have any additional messages for our listeners?
Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone who's been a part of helping Be Fair, Be Vegan to spread around the world. And for people who would like to help Be Vegan spread around the world, please do get in touch with us, because we're very excited to work with other activists who want to help expand the campaign's reach. And just to everybody who's been a supporter, everybody who helps to spread the word, everybody who helps to share our content around Facebook, we do have Joanna Lucas has been putting together some amazing Facebook content, as well as the billboards and the posters that have been going up around the place. She's made incredible Facebook posters for people to share around, also with very powerful, profound messages. So to everybody who's been sharing those, I want to thank you. For everybody who is excited to be a part of making it spread further, please do get in touch about how you can help us, and we'll be very grateful for that. And just in general, everybody who works to spread the vegan message, just keep going, keep being proud of what we do. let's remember that we have a goal here. We're aiming for a vegan world, and that is going to happen. We should never forget that. We should never lose heart in what we're doing. We should never lose hope. It is going to be a vegan world. I really believe that. I believe it because I think that there is such a thing as goodness. And I think that all of us who are working for the vegan movement, we have goodness inside us. We are representatives of that goodness, and we are trying to spread it. And as long as we're working to help that force of goodness is growing with every one of us. And for those people who are listening who are not vegan, you could be a part of that force of goodness too. It's a very simple matter. You don't even have to be an activist. You don't have to put up billboards. You don't have to do anything. Just become vegan. That's all you have to do. And if people want to do that and they don't know how, get in touch with us and we'll make sure you get the help that you need. But it's not difficult. It's easy. It's one of the easiest things you'll ever do because you'll be rewarded in a myriad of different ways that you'll see the joy just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows until all you want to do is spread this vegan message to everyone you know, and that's what we're trying to do.
Thank you, Angel. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. Thank you so much for your show.
Thank you. And that's BeFairBeVegan.com, correct?
That's correct, BeFairBeVegan.com, and we're on Facebook at BeFairBeVegan as well.
Thank you, Angel. We've been joined by Angel Flynn, spokeswoman for the Be Fair, Be Vegan campaign, currently up on I-95 in Connecticut, Fairfield County, Connecticut, the cities of Bridgeport, Stratford, and Fairfield, Connecticut. And the billboard campaign is up on the north and southbound lanes of I-95 from July until October 31st. This concludes part two of our interview with Angel Flynn. You can hear part one at wcuw.org/vegannation, as well as vegansradio.wordpress.com. Let's go out with this beautiful song by Daniel Redwood. This is Justice. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation.
Justice was born in Kansas, and getting shot saved his life. Let me tell you the story, how he escaped the butcher's knife. Justice was riding in a cattle truck, stopped along the interstate. When he crashed through the doors, ran for his life, 'cause freedom couldn't wait. He was taken down by an officer with a tranquilizer gun so bold. But when it reached his bloodstream, it meant his flesh could not be sold. So sing a song for justice, sing it with all your might. Sing it for the dawn that waits beyond the darkest night. And pray for every animal confined and misunderstood. For the day the final slaughterhouse shuts its doors for good. Justice arrived at Peaceful Prairie from a long, cold, lonely ride. Trembling with each step he took, truly terrified. There was a cow named Sherman there who stayed at Justice's side all day and licked his face again and again, till justice was okay.
Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow wishing you a good day.
So sing a song for justice, sing it with all your might. Sing it for the dawn that waits beyond the darkest night. And pray for every animal confined and misunderstood. And for
the day the final slaughterhouse shuts its doors for good.